do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning back in. I appreciate being so patient. This project, right, outside of it being a podcast, it's trying to expand into be something else. Where that is headed, it's not clear yet. There is a blueprint, and that's part of the process. That's part of the process that anything that you're building, it's something that you just kind of have to go through, right? People call it the process because it exists, right? It's getting from point A to point B, but it's the in-between that is what matters, right? It's that consistency. It's those challenges that you have. Now, with the podcast, if you guys didn't know, just a little bit quick behind the scenes, this project is ran just by one person. I am basically everything in this moving vehicle that I consider a social primate, which is an artist, you know, founder, marketing, graphic design, sound editing, fucking audio engineer, everything that you can think of that consists of what you see. It's all done by just the one person. And sometimes it gets creatively exhausting. And I want to be transparent as possible to let you know that, you know, sometimes you have to play all these roles in these projects that you're starting to come up with, right? And whatever idea, whatever startup idea, whatever freelance business you want to do, whatever new challenge that you seek for yourself, there's always going to be a process and it's always going to take effort. More effort than you put into your daily job, right? But at this point, you're motivated to do something for yourself, that you're willing to put all this effort and you're willing to play all these different roles just to make your product or your idea thrive, right? So just remember that, right? The process. Whatever you're doing right now, you're in the middle of it. Enjoy where you're at right now. Enjoy the wins, enjoy the losses. Just ride the wave. And that's an important part of this episode. So I'm going to leave you with that. So again, to kind of wrap that up, a lot of the things that you see here are just things that are coming out of my mind. And I hope to expand on this as I continue to move forward with the project. Now, if you guys have been paying attention, we have a primate, a cartoon animated primate in the making. I don't know where this is going, right? But I have an idea of where he's going. And if I'm officially naming him, his name's Eddie the Primate. Maybe it seems a little narcissistic. I don't know, maybe. But no, come on, it's a badass name. Eddie the Primate, it just makes sense, guys, come on. Nonetheless, Eddie the Primate's going on an adventure, and this adventure, in a way, it's going to relate, for sure it's going to relate to the NFT project, so keep an eye on that. I hope that this idea kind of evolves further into that, but for sure I'm going to need hands on deck here. I'm not asking you guys necessarily, but for anybody interested, things are just starting in phase one right now. This is alpha phase. I don't even know if it's considered alpha phase, but I'm looking for creative help. So if you know somebody or you are somebody, shoot me a message. Anyways, point is, check it out. Stay tuned. I'm not going to tell you all my secrets here, but just stick around, right? They're super short clips. They're a few seconds. You can find them on Instagram right now and hopefully soon on YouTube clips. So we'll see. Anyways, today's music's brought to you by Gremlock with their song, House of Caboodles. And just remember, support local music, support artists, support music, support your community. Come on now, get it. See you guys next week. Guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. Damn, it's been a while, and I know I've been lagging in the last couple of weeks, people, but I had some shit going on in my life. I had to take care of it, but I'm back, you know?
So real.
And if you were wondering, like, what the heck, whose voice was that? That was none other than Kiso.
Hey.
Damn. What's up, Kiso? How you doing?
I really related to the bar you just dropped about having a lot of shit going on in your life. Yeah. But I think that's just the human experience.
Oh, and my God, yeah.
I am just so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. This podcast really reminds me that being human is so many different complicated things, which makes me want to continue living and being human. So yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. You know, I wanted to kind of just jump in real quick just because of the whole, you know, I know it seems like we're both going through stuff in the last couple of days, weeks or so. And I'm sure we're not the only ones. You know, I'm sure everybody else is in there like, fuck, I'm stuck in this rut and I'm trying to figure out how to get out. Just real quick, you know, I just on Monday, which is 2 days ago, I was in a car accident on the freeway.
Oh my god!
Some guy just fucking hit me from the back, and I hit the car in front of me. It's bad. It's bad.
No.
So my week started off very shitty. I was like, dude, what the fuck? So I'm all these types of emotions are going on, and you know, I was definitely feeling bad amongst other stuff that's been accumulating. So it's just been like, fuck. Like sometimes you, or at least for me now, I felt like, oh fuck, it sucks so much. Like, it hurts my soul, you know?
Yes.
And in my existence just feels like, fuck, man, why does life have to be so unfair, like, type of deal.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking after I felt those emotions, I started thinking, like, you know what? This time last year, I was feeling great. I was in a super high. Like,
yeah.
I remember exactly a year ago, and I was feeling, like, fucking good because I was doing some projects, investing stuff. So I was riding the wave.
Yeah.
And then I came to the conclusion like, oh, fuck. Like right now it does suck. And then I was like, wait a second. But it's just part of the course. You know, you have your highs, you have your lows. And just kind of coming to that conclusion like, okay, I'm in that low right now. But I'm not going to be here forever. You know, I just kind of have to ride it out. That kind of gave me the ability to take a deep breath and kind of remove some of that weight off of me. And, you know, come Wednesday now, I'm still butthurt about my car and all this other stuff. But I feel a little bit more relaxed about it and more clear-headed, you know?
Wow.
And I feel like, a lot of people are going through that kind of stuff, you know?
That's so beautiful that you use the metaphor of riding the wave, too, because I feel in my life, kind of similarly to how you were describing, you know, last year, I remember I felt like I was floating. I was riding the wave. Mm-hmm. And usually when I'm, you know, surfing, feeling like the gliding is effortless, I'm like cutting the wave just at the... For some context, I can't surf, skate, rollerblade, balance on anything with wheels or mobility for shit, other than my own 2 feet, which, you know, even that sometimes is a struggle. But I always forget that the wave crashes, you know, and there's this moment where you hit the shore and you're like disoriented. I remember as a kid, I really loved, you know, just throwing myself into the ocean, which is kind of... I think that's low-key a little bit what I do with my art without really realizing it, because I go into all my pieces without a plan. I think I'm just someone who kind of in a chaotic, but I'm trying to reframe it in a like beautifully chaotic kind of way. I think and feel multiple things at once. And so usually when I see an image that I want to produce, I really don't, actually. I just kind of feel these things and then they come out in these symbols. And that's why I found myself always layering different symbols, layering English text with Armenian text, postage stamps with pieces of canvas. And then I don't like it. And then I paint over it. And then I, you know, sometimes shame myself for having painted over something that the next day I actually wish I kept. And I think that's so... kind of coming back to your metaphor of like riding the wave and like how you feel about this car accident. I think that's so beautiful that you were able to reframe that for yourself, because so much of it really is just how we're processing like the rapid changes of how we experience life, you know? So I've just been thinking about all of the different phases of said wave of like seeing, you know, approaching the beach, seeing the waves rolling towards you, feeling a little bit intimidated. The waves seem smaller far away. You go a little bit closer and it's always like right before you're about to do something, right before you're about to start a piece, right before you're about to like enter a new relationship, right before, you know, that the anxiety is the highest. Your like heart is beating. You're like, oh my God, the wave is so much taller than than it looked about 500 feet back. You know, you're this car looked tiny and it is all up in my bumper right now. Like, what?
And it's, it's getting closer. Until they boom.
Yeah. And then the mirror is like, things are closer than they actually appear.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and to kind of touch base on your art, I know you had mentioned that at least you came earlier when we met up and you showed me a particular piece.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've given it a name yet, but...
Oh, my gosh.
Have you?
Okay, so this is so funny because similarly to not really having a plan, I don't really name my pieces. But in this case scenario, the name usually comes to me almost like a joke, you know? And so one thing that I do to keep myself accountable, and I'm like, you know, to notify the fans. Just kidding. I don't have to, you know, but I have lovely supporters. And if you're listening, I really, really appreciate it.
Go push that follow
right now, guys. Yeah. I'm like, my Instagram handle's at the bottom. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. But so I took one of the symbols that I use in the piece is a kind of 1920s style, like scared, like, Mickey Mouse that's holding onto the back of a Soviet Union car that I just found on Google Images. But it also... it looked pretty similar to one of my grandma's boyfriend's cars. So I was like, okay, I'm going to use this. And if Nelly, my grandma, recognized it, I'm going to be like, that's shout out to the woman who raised me. Like, you know? Yeah. She's going to be like, I miss being in that car. I should call him. I was reminded of like the first Deadmau5 song that I ever heard when I was like 13. I think like SoundCloud had just started like going up and running, you know, but the song was called The Reward is Cheese. And this piece, what I was painting about, this was just the feeling that I was going for, you know, and then I feel so blessed that I can somehow wrap it nicely with a bow at the end of it in some like theoretical, you know, meaning. But I was feeling so deeply exhausted by the rat race, and particularly in the United States. This is also the longest period I've gone without going back to the motherland, Armenia, because of war, because of COVID, you know, and kind of similarly to like what you were saying, you know, like I've been, how you were like, oh yeah, you know, I've been going through a bit of a transformative period, and then the car accident on top of it. It seems like globally too, when it rains, it pours, you know, and then the tide rises, to go back to the wave metaphor. But I remember feeling really exhausted about the rat race, just being like, okay, I had recently just moved out of my family home to a apartment, first time in my life living alone. And I am someone that realized in this process, and this informed my painting too, that I thought I had always loved alone time inherently, but how I was actually using alone time was almost like I was recharging my XP in like a video game, or like my HP, so that I could go back outside and be of service to others. And this was the first time, because, you know, growing up in a conservative Armenian family home, I'm one of many on my dad's side, but I'm the only child of my mom, and daughter at that, you know.
So
I have to be like modest, good host, funny when appropriate, you know, like I can't crack that joke. I'm like, she's gonna listen to this podcast and be like, you said sheet, you know, and I'm be like, yeah, some shit going on, mom, you know. But so I realized that this was the first time I had access to alone time for the sole purpose of being alone with myself, and not as a means to the ends of recharging energy for other people. And that was so terrifying, you know. I felt like I had, it's instead of like going to the beach with your family and them chilling on, you know, the towel and like applying sunscreen and having snacks, and you being like, okay, I have this group behind me, I'm gonna go take some alone time and go ride this wave. It was like I came to a completely desolate beach, and I start looking around and I start going, why is no one else here? Are the waves too dangerous? Are there sharks in the water? Is the water too salty? Like, you start asking yourself all these things that keep you paralyzed at the lip of the shore, at like the lip of the wave, you know? And so that's kind of how I, oh my gosh, this is so funny, because I realized the question was, did you name the piece? But so long story short, the piece is called The Reward is Cheese. And I got that name because I had taken a photo of the Mickey Mouse detail that I had just painted. I was like, okay, this is tough. Let me throw this on my, you know, close friends real quick. Posted on Instagram. And I was like, the reward is cheese, LMAO. Because it reminded me of the Deadmau5 song. And then I was like, damn, what is the reward of this rat race? You know? And I think cheese is such like a funny concept of that being a reward. You know, you're assuming that that's what everyone wants. Cheese as kind of like guap, money, dough. Something that you're told is permanent, but is, you know, molding. Mm-hmm. Something that some people are allergic to. Like, it's not the universal. It's not a need. And I think all my pieces in general are pushing back against this idea. And not for any, it was never for an inherently like, oh, I want to make a piece about this. It really just came from a place of like, fuck, like I am feeling exhausted that these are the things that I am told to want. These are the ways I am told to speak. These are the spaces that I'm told to be in. Why don't we all just collectively band together, push bikini bottom somewhere else? Like, that's SpongeBob episode. Yeah, I like that reference. You know, yeah. I think about that a lot. Yeah. Like, and going back to kind of like the sense of humor I try to inject in some of my pieces, I like think about that bikini bottom episode so much. They had this like impending doom, Alaskan bullworm. And I'm like, you guys should check this episode out. By the way, I watch SpongeBob. I rewatch the episodes all the time, and they're drilled into my memory.
That's my Bible right there.
Yeah, literally, I'm like my most powerful weapon, spiritually, physically, emotionally.
SpongeBob. Hey, you know what? Yeah. It has grade A content. Yeah, that just kind of relates, you know, in these kind of scenarios, you know.
Yeah, like, and they all banded together and pushed Bikini Bottom to a safer place. Mm-hmm. And I think so often, like, I just remember growing up and having this urge to, you know, and I was drawing and doodling kind of all my life because I just really, I was so hypnotized by this idea that you could look at a blank page and draw maybe three lines. Cartoons in particular for me were so, so inspiring, like cartoons, tags, graffiti, because I was like, someone walked past this material, this space. They had this innate urge to like purge something from within them. And all they used was like a can of spray paint and maybe like three lines. Mm-hmm. And already there's like an aura to it, a vibe to it, volume to it. You have this whole context behind it. You start thinking like, oh my God, like so much physical labor, emotional labor, spiritual labor was put into this shit. And it probably took what, like with tag, like, you know, 20, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. That was so hypnotizing to me. And I remember doodling a lot, kind of like corrupted cartoon figures, because it came from a place of like, you know, like cartoons, especially as I was consuming them, I was like, okay, thinking about like, okay, these cartoons are supposed to look the same in every single episode. Like how I am told that I'm supposed to look the same every single day when I step outside the house, go to school at the same time of day. My mom is stressing about the same things. My grandma is nostalgic and like missing the same things from Armenia, you know. I had this urge to like just go up to them and like put my hands on their shoulders and just kind of shake them and be like, yo, like, not like wake up, you know. Yeah. But a little bit like that. Like, I was also listening to a lot of Rage Against the Machine at the time. Oh, yeah, shout out to Morello. Yeah. So I think that's like less of what I'm, I guess, trying to do in my pieces, but my pieces are more just me finding a healthy outlet for me to put this feeling of wanting so badly to convince other people, and other people also including myself most of the time, to like choose love, choose community, you know, choose like resource sharing and stuff, instead of just subscribing to a lot of institutions that are just meant to split us up.
Yeah. No, I kind of want to bring something up that we mentioned like a little bit before the show when we were outside, was just like the illusion, right? Like that they give to you like, oh, this is your solution. This is how you're going to feel that comfort of, or this peace that you are well. But in reality, it's like, you know, in a sense, like the reward is cheese. It's like the same thing. You're going to get the cheese, but then what?
Yeah, exactly.
What happens after you get the cheese?
Exactly. You know? It's like
you're still going to probably feel some sort of like, you know, there's a, I forgot where I read this, but it's like when the getting to a goal is more fulfilling than getting to the goal.
Yes. But we are fed the opposite thing. Yo, that's so funny that you bring that up, because I think one of the pressures that I was moving through, you know, my family, I think because I think they were taught the scarcity mindset by the United States. You know, it's like in Armenia, everyone was just kind of, also in Armenia, all different classes were like living in the same apartment building, you know, and that was so, you know, you become used to other ways of living. You see like what your neighbor doesn't have, you're you get this impulse to give, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was also Soviet Union, you know, shout out. I mean, I'm not shouting out all the parts of the Soviet Union, you know what I'm saying?
And, I was like, flag this episode.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's the community guidelines. I'm like, ugh, which community? Like,
which community? Fucking,
literally. Oh, shoot. I forgot the movie we were talking about. You mentioned. Oh, yeah, yeah. So one of the pressures was, you know, they really wanted me to go to medical school. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the first things I found out, I was doing my little Googling, you know, I was also like super into MySpace, like only child vibe, yeah. You know, just on the internet 24/7. I was like funnyjunk.com one tab, like, you know, MySpace, like the other tab. Yeah. And I was using MySpace to code My Chemical Romance themed backgrounds.
Damn,
you
know, man. So, shout out to Tom for MySpace.
Yeah, but I'm like, shout out Tom. Shout out Tom for the, you know, white t-shirt, dark wash jean, flip flop drip, the OG.
Yep.
But I remember one of the first things reading was the experience about like what it felt like to like study for the MCAT, like mm-hmm. blood, sweat, and tears, like all these hours, lose sleep, whatever, take the test, and just the existential emptiness the students would feel after taking the test. Like, fuck, like now what, you know?
Yeah.
And that, I think they like gave a name to it, but this idea that like you have to, you know, we're taught to crave and covet goals as opposed to crave and covet just the process and what the gifts bring to us. And yeah. I think also one of the symbols on my last piece that we were talking about outside is the Soviet Union car with one of the tires, you know, falling off. And mm-hmm. I think in general, like I paint a lot of like shopping carts, particularly the shopping cart of an Armenian store that my aunt works at right now. I'm like, shout out Vehanush, you know, behind the deli and meats, you know, she's holding it down. But when I try to paint images of like mobile things, of like transport, I always, and I didn't never tried to do this, but I always found myself painting it with either like the engine falling apart or painting it halfway or painting it with the wheels coming off. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I'm now realizing this just in this thoughtful conversation, so thank you for the space, Sandy. But I think that's kind of like, to me, trying to push the brakes on a vehicle that's like that you're just kind of thrown into, that you don't know, you know, that it's going to like a location that you didn't really decide for yourself, you know.
Yeah, which is I think
a lot what people are feeling right now, like especially after COVID and stuff. Everyone's like, why do I want what I want? Who told me to want what I want?
Yeah.
Why not want experience, period?
You know? Yeah, no, exactly. It's like you said, it's just loving the process just has more rewards, I would say. Because if I learned anything is that it feels rewarding, you know, having the idea or having any idea and then kind of, you know, letting it kind of sit in a while and then you kind of get, you're like, nah, yeah. It's not a good idea.
Yeah.
But then you come back, you're like, you know what the fuck, this is a good
yes.
idea.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And then you absolutely. Feel re-inspired to be like, oh shit. Like that happened to me recently with some drawing I've been making.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just because I draw the monkey. So I'm like, man, what the fuck do I do with this monkey? What is he doing? Like, what is he fucking doing? And just to give people some context, I'm gonna be uploading it for a couple, maybe tomorrow. But the monkey's Ooh. Riding the bus now. He's yeah. riding a bus, and the reason I chose a bus was because my car fucked that. Up in real life.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Let this monkey take public transportation. You know, in yeah. a sense, he's suffering through me. You know, and
wow.
Point is, the monkey's going places here.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to establish the whole thing that again, it's part of the process. Like you know, I'm at a copy store and I'm at my job recording this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of the times people, the first thing that they imagine is like, oh man, I'm going to be in a badass studio. Like yeah. I'm going to have a badass producer. But sometimes that's not the case. You know, all you got to do is kind of work with what you got and
totally.
Fucking set it up at your work after hours without yes. your boss knowing, you know?
No, that's king shit. That's amazing.
And you're just getting it done. And that's the process. Because at yeah. the end of the day, I'm going to be, if I ever get to the fancy studio, I'm going to be like, damn, remember those days where I used to kind of just
yes.
fucking raw record somewhere? Like that absolutely. Was fun, you know?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely, Eddie. And that's so crazy that you bring that up because another thing, first off, I just want to say I love just like beyond your vulnerability, like I love the fact that you're able to allow your real life experiences and feelings to bleed into your work. Like that little detail of like the monkey being on the bus,
yeah.
you know, like that is a time capsule of this yeah. experience, you know. And another thing that I was thinking about is when you mentioned, you know, like this time last year, I was feeling like on a high. I think just to kind of like wrap up the last point we were talking about being fed these goals mm-hmm. and not, you know, being fed like a hunger for the process. It's so easy for us while we're in process of daily living and feeling to look at ourselves and other people as like photographs as opposed to like real. You know, it was so easy for you to be like, oh, this time last year, I was feeling great. Like removed from the context mm-hmm. of like maybe the more difficult things you were feeling a couple of months prior, like what happened afterwards, you know, like the full crest of like the wave.
Yeah.
And I feel like I really do that a lot too. One thing I was feeling was when I moved into this new, you know, space, kind of to go back to what we were just talking about this, like, yeah, new studio, you know, I was like, wow, this is gonna be the first time I'm not like on my knees in my family home, like childhood bedroom, like lower back on, you know, crazy, like adding 10 vertebrae to myself, bent over like an old wise man, like blowing dust off of a sacred manuscript in the attic, you know, like trying to paint. And oftentimes I would have to hold my phone in my left hand, like with my flashlight mm-hmm. or for flash and for like extra light, you know, with the paint. And so when I moved into this new space, I was like, wow, like look at these white walls, like so much inspiration is going to come, so much this is going to come. This is my first painting that I've painted in this new space. I've been in this new space for maybe like over a month. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was a time where I was in my family home and I was going outside, just setting stuff up on my grandma's stool, be like, grandma, I'm going to take this for like 15 minutes. She's like, no, my computer's balanced on it. I'm watching Russian soaps. I'm like, okay, let me know when you're done with the soap. You know, working around so many other circumstances, like you setting up after hours to still host this really valuable thing, you know? And I was just cranking stuff out. And it was also at the beginning of when I really started painting for real, which was like 2020. But that being said, I entered this new space and I was like, wow, like I remember at this point in time, I was making so much more work about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I completely removed myself from any of the context in my life that had happened within the last like 2 years. Not to mention, you know, pandemic happening. I'm like the specter haunting us all, like not to mention. I was also going through a lot of difficult personal transformations. Also, you know, I'm 26 years old right now. And I think I just have been navigating really how to set boundaries with, you know, a family that's really embedded in their culture.
Yeah.
And I started doing that really after I moved, you know, back home for a little bit. So I was at this point in time in my life, and this is me realizing it again, real time talking about it, where I had just come in. I was so excited to not be working at this like coffee shop that was making my knees like buckle. The cold brew buckets were so heavy and the hours were so long. I was like, yes, okay, I have this period of time where I'm like not working right now. Let me just for 2 weeks crank shit out. Mm-hmm. Naturally, it just felt right to do at that moment. And I think what I'm realizing and what I want to, you know, share to creatives listening right now is that it is your relationship with like creativity and production is really, it's really like your evolving relationship with yourself and how willing you are to acknowledge and to love all the versions of you mm-hmm. that you may have in the past deemed good, bad, or labeled in some form of way. And I think the more I am able to do that for myself, the more I'm able to step into my painting practice. But it is deeply, deeply difficult and also deeply rewarding to give time to something like creativity that doesn't decide when it strikes. You know, I think that's why they're like, creativity strikes, because like the lightning is just kind of like boom there, and then you're like, oh my god, like did it hit my neighbor's house? Holy crap. And then it doesn't show up for like 30 more minutes, and then everyone's like tweeting about it, and you're like, oh my god, guys, this is crazy. You know, but this is kind of that like comes out of really nowhere for me, at least. And I find myself when I'm in these modes. And sometimes, you know, you'll go on like TikTok or Instagram and an artist will pop up on your For You page that's like, my morning routine, wake up 5:30 a.m., exercise, make myself a cup of home like grown cold brew that I grow in my garden, paint from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. I am so not that type of person, you know?
I like, tried it myself too.
Yeah, have you?
It doesn't really work. At least for me, like it feels like. It feels restricting.
Totally, totally. All I know now, which I'm blessed to know about myself, is that I paint when the sun is out.
Uh-huh.
And I paint sometimes I can only paint under the sun, which is a little bit like...
Like you go outside and stuff?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Like I have this dinky little wooden easel that I got from the small mom and pop shop in Connecticut randomly, like mm-hmm. 2 years ago. And I've just been lugging it around with me. Another like hilarious artist trope, I think, is like the artist like when traveling. It's like sometimes you bring your materials with you and you're yeah. like, ah, yes, I can't wait to be so inspired. And then there's no freaking lightning, you know, and you got to be like, damn, like do I have to, you know, rub my feet together until I get some sort of like electricity shot going, you know? Yeah, so now I set up this little space that's in a driveway that I'm sharing with two other people in like mm-hmm. a little like apartment kind of space. So, you know, sometimes I have to be like, hey, guys, like I'm going to spray paint, but I promise it's not going to be by your white Toyota. I promise. And they're like, okay, Kiso, okay. Like, no, they're really lovely. Shout out. Yeah.
Hey, no, I mean, it also, you got to give props to the people who I wouldn't say don't support you, but still kind of give you the time and they're,
yes.
I don't know, their energy enough to be like, yeah, okay, you just do your thing.
Yeah. Because
a lot of people, there's a lot of people out there who are just like, man. You're just fucking drawing.
Yeah.
Man. You're just painting.
Yes.
Like, nah, dude, come on.
So I would actually share something. First off, I want to thank you for definitely being one of those people. Like, y'all, I'm going to plug for, you know, the day job. I'm like, do people know?
Nah, go for it.
But I basically met Eddie at this print shop to come get my work printed for like literally the first time. Like, first time I had ever printed anything was here. And over time, like me bringing my stuff to y'all, thinking that sometimes it was doo-doo, you know, mm-hmm. just being like, ugh, I don't want to deal with this piece anymore. Like, let me just get rid of it. And then going from asking for like 5 orders to asking for 10 orders to being like, oh, now I have to ship these guys. Yeah, and you guys exactly. being like, yo, I'm so excited for you. I'm so proud of you. Like, even those little interactions, they stay in my body, you know? And I think it's so important for creatives to like have that just environment, whether it is like people at the print shop or like the barista at the coffee shop that you know, like flash your phone to real quick and be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna work on this today. Uh-huh. Like even like a negative reaction sometimes is better than no reaction.
Yeah,
you know, you
definitely.
Just want to feel like you're being like seen, period, you know. So yeah, I think that's yeah. So shout out to my neighbors for giving me space. But so long story short, set up my easel outside, and sometimes the sun is only 30 minutes, sometimes it's 50 minutes. I find that if I put more pressure on myself to finish a concept I have in my mind or continue working, I will often overwork it. And then afterwards be like, ugh, like I should have stopped, like, you know, 25 there. Like strokes ago. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I definitely relate to that. Like I mentioned, you know, I got an iPad, probably say during COVID, I got an iPad Pro and stuff. So I was like, fuck it, I must start doing digital drawing. And I didn't draw anything for the first maybe 2 years, like, and it, up until this last year, actually the beginning of last year, I was like, you know what, I gotta start doing something. And I started kind of getting into it a little bit more, and since then, you know, I've kind of picked up the pencil a lot more often, and every other day now, I like you said, sometimes like that video you hit the TikTok, it's like some people schedule these specific times trying to force themselves to be productive. Other people, like including myself, I don't necessarily work that way, but I do tell myself, like, okay, I at least got to draw something during the day. You know, like enough to make me feel like, okay, it wasn't a fucking 100% completion, but I did 2% of this drawing. And
so,
you know, and at the end of the day, just kind of like how you mentioned when you first started coming here with no orders till mailing stuff out.
I could cry thinking about that.
It's consistency. And that's what makes those changes. That's what continues that progress. Yes. Just being consistent with each move that you make. No matter how big it is, you know? And I feel like as creatives can easily fall into the rut where they're like, fuck, my work wasn't as good as last time. And now you don't know what to do. And you have these like, fuck.
I think I love the idea of consistency so much too. And you just made me realize, like, A, thank you for sharing. And B, I think in this freaking, not to be like late stage capitalist United States or like post, like whatever Mad Max universe we're living in right now. The idea of consistency is like seen as like consistent product, whereas like I think the idea of consistency that you're talking about is consistency in process. You know, it's like you're not like a factory. You can't pump out a piece like every single day, you know, but you can be consistent in your intention and in your process. So I love that, and I'm gonna be taking it back to my practice, because I think one thing that's been blocking me a lot is like, you know, that expectation that I had, that was honestly not the expectation I really put on myself, but I think just like you know, perfectionist tendencies absorbed from like my environment growing up here, like whatever. We can get into it, but I do think like consistency in intention is the most important thing, and that goes for kind of everything, like in your relationships, like quality time is so much more important than quantity time for me. And also I know, oh my gosh, I'm about to get emotional, but right before, you know, coming in, I talked to my best friend, Naomi, who's in Brooklyn right now. Shout out, Naomi. If you're listening, you are my sun and my stars. But she is a person that to me, I mean, among so many other of, you know, loved ones that I'm so blessed to have in my life, that will never judge me for not being able to show up the same way all the time, you know? And she just, I think like the love that she gives to me, which is like ultimately the love, you know, that I want to give to her, to my friends, loved ones, and to like my art and to my paintings, is like, if I see the intention, if I see the consistency and process, I'm going to love it for what it is. You know, I'm not going to nitpick and be like, this painting is weaker than this last painting. This painting, it's like, well, I might be physically feeling weaker than last time that I was painting it. Or, you know, the experiences that I've collected have created a different looking mosaic, like the tiles that I had collected that are these experiences have created a different looking mosaic than, you know, what I had made like prior to going on this new journey. And you never really know when you're going to enter a period of transition in your life. Like, you never really know when the car is going to hit you from the back on the freeway. You know,
it just does. And you're like, oh, fuck, now you got to adapt.
Yeah, that's crazy. And the freeway, too, as a place that like a lot of people like zone out, not going to lie, like sometimes. You know, not to let the federals know anything.
How did I get here?
Yeah, exactly. But I think that is like, you know, definitely something. Art forces you to like step out of that autopilot mode, which I think is like really beautiful, and it can be really painful and really exciting and really tiring and all of those things in one, which is just like, you know, consolidated human experience, like 101. So.
And no, I mean, it's completely all valid. And just real quick, I wanted to jump into a point that you made about quantity over quality.
Yeah.
Quality over quantity. What the fuck am I talking about?
No, giving people wrong advice. Here?
Quality over quantity. It's like you. Wait, was that the right one? Yeah, quality over quantity. Jesus. But what I'm trying to get to is, you know, sometimes you have to just focus on one thing and fucking chip away at it. Because if you're fucking trying to do 10 different statues, you're like, you know, your chances of error or like just or being overwhelmed and feeling fucking like drained.
Yeah, it's like it's so much, the overwhelm capacity is like so much greater when you're trying to do all these like 60,000 things at once and then expect all of those products to come out at the same time.
Yeah, like, that's like exactly. Yeah, when you can just do the one and be like, okay, let me fucking navigate, learn how to navigate through this first one and then branch out to the other things.
Yes.
And I mean, I know in today's world, like I see sometimes like, oh, how do you beat the fucking Instagram algorithm? How do you do these? You know?
Oh my.
And it's like, oh, you got to do reels. You got to do this. Like, like all this other stuff that now you're kind of forced, like because you want people to find your stuff.
Yeah.
You have to be like doing all these extra things. And one of the things that they say is, oh, you got to post at least 2 to 3 times a day. And
My God.
Then you're like, dude, now I have to think about content that I have to put up every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, at some point it gets watered down, you know, like you're just putting shit out for the sake of just staying relevant instead of like, oh, fuck, he did it this one piece. Oh, damn. That's memorable. Yeah. And, you know, so on and so forth. But it's hard nowadays, you know, if you want to stay relevant, you got to do all this content that sometimes it may not be at its full potential than, you know, what you're intending to do.
That's like, I forgot who was talking to me about it, but they were talking about this book called like 100 True Fans or something like that. And I think, a lot of my creative loved ones have been feeling like, oh my gosh. And I myself, I have such a love-hate relationship with the internet. Like I very much go on Instagram, like stream of consciousness, just literally post memes, random screenshots I have on my phone, and you know, that's low key my pieces really be like that. You know, it's kind of like this symbol then this symbol, paste it on top of the symbol. Anyways, and in this case, it's so funny that you bring that up, because today I was thinking about releasing this latest piece, and one of the first things that came to my mind was not like, wow, yay, Kiso, I'm so proud of you. You were able to get this out there. Like, yes, just even holding the piece in my hands physically feels so good. It's so colorful. It's so intense. Like, yes. The first thing I thought was, oh my God, my last post was 2 months ago. How many people unfollow me? People are not going to see this. Is anyone going to buy it? Oh, dang. And I am. That's another thing, too. I don't know if you feel this, but it's like the pressure to like make money from your work. Like right now, that is the only, you know, that's, I'm applying to like other work and stuff right now, but right now that's my only like stream of income. And I think in those moments too, it's really difficult to just really love art and your process as a form of expression and not tie it to its like product value. Mm-hmm. Low-key, also one of the reasons I studied art history in college. It was like never studio art, but it was because the major was too small. I was like, no, like please accept me. And they were like, no, we're not funding this. And I was like, why? Like, you guys have so much money. And they're like, because we're funding oil. Anyways. But yeah, long story short, you know, one of the things that was so disillusioning to me was this like discussion of like, you know, like there were so many beautiful classes, but then a lot of the kids from the program wanted to go out and be in these like art auction houses and like art or like gallery spaces even. And there was always this like tension between like the process and the product, you know? And I just remember thinking, sometimes we'd watch interviews of artists and it was so clear that like the interviewer was trying to, you know, get this like kind of like product oriented answer out of the artist. And one of my favorite moments is like when an artist is like, I don't know, man. I just kind of liked it, so I did it, you know? Like, you know, which is like so, like, it was such like a delicious, like,
I can't human. Sell
that. Yeah, exactly. It was like such a delicious, like, disruption of like this, you know, sterile space with just like sheer humanity. Mm-hmm. And I think those moments to me are like, oh my God, like they really recharge me. Yeah. But this conversation is nothing like that. So I'm very blessed to be here.
No, I mean, and I guess, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the intent of these conversations is to kind of shake you up and be like, oh fuck, you know, like you said, kind of wake up from the, in a sense, kind of wake up from the matrix and be like, oh fuck, like people are having these conversations, these thoughts. Cause you know, I work here all the time. I'm dealing with people all the time. So it's personalities, experiences, all these things happening everywhere. That, you know, it's a lot of the time you can absorb that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it starts, you don't notice it until later. You're like, man, why do I feel this way? And you're like, oh, fuck, maybe it's because of work. Maybe it's because of the stress, whatever.
Yes.
And you know, it just, how do I say it?
The feeling is so strong. Now I'm like on this wave with you right
now. Yeah. I feel it right now kind of like overwhelming me. So I'm like having a hard time putting it into words. But. At the end of the day, it's like
absorbing all these other like the way I imagine, and I'd love to know more about this actually, is like a lot of people come in here and they're like looking for a specific type of product, or they're like, this needs to be shipped out like right now, or like this is, there's a lot of like time assigned to the materials, a lot of value assigned to the products. And I imagine like as a creative yourself, you know, it's like whether or not, you know, it's conscious, you do carry, you know, other people's like stresses, anxieties, expectations, like you do absorb that, you know, like you're an empathetic person. Like this is a super empathetic podcast. So beautiful that you're putting this into the world, because it does kind of wake people up from the matrix, as we were saying.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I remember my point. Yeah. But finish yours.
Yeah, no, that was all I was going to say. Just like, you know, I can't imagine, like I worked so many customer service jobs too. And sometimes, you know, you absorb and you don't even feel what you've absorbed, like subconsciously or consciously, like leak out of, you know, your sponge body, to bring it back to SpongeBob, like three or 4 days later, you know, and then you have to do the extra work of looking back and being like, wait, why am I feeling this way? And one thing that I'm trying to do is less, not like less ask why, but more just really, instead of trying to like dig and continue digging, just be really present with that emotion and just like tend to that emotion, like, in the moment.
In the moment,
like, almost like a baby, like crying or being hungry, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that kind of relates to how I felt about, you know, the Monday with the accident. And then come Wednesday, I was like, nah, I got to take care of these emotions, because otherwise they're just going to drag on. They're going to affect my, whatever, my performance and a bunch of other shit. And, you know, just to say it. But real quick, to bring my point, the whole thing with the customers, it's like, and being shaken out of the matrix, is like every now and then, you have this person that comes in and you're like, holy fuck, this person is down to earth. Like, they vibe, you know, yourself, Christine, you know, and there's people sprinkled around, at least in the interactions that I have here.
Yeah.
But for the most part, everybody feels like they're just in the rat race, like we mentioned. They're just in the zone. They don't care about anything else. Like, they know what's going on, but they're like, meh. Like,
yeah.
They don't care. But occasionally you see these people where, you know, you're providing a message through your art, or you're trying to get people to listen to a conversation that really kind of takes them aback from normal things that they hear on their day-to-day business. And that kind of disconnects them real quick. And there's like, oh, fuck, there's a world deeper than what we're just being fed, you know, and what's being perceived through, you know, our phones. Because this is where we're getting everything from nowadays, you know?
Oh, my gosh, yes. That's another thing, too. I think, like, moving into this new space, you know, I think it made me realize, like, how much stimulus I was receiving on a daily basis. And I started, you know, by, like, family members or by, you know, other people, whatever, whether it's, like, good, bad, exhausting, exciting, whatever. And I was replacing a lot of that stimulus, like the dopamine hits that I was getting like with my phone. And I still am, to be quite honest, you know, but it's so beautiful. Yeah. To me, I remember coming into the space and being like, wow, these people are so lovely. I feel like they see me for me, which is so, a lot of people will say that that's kind of like naive for me to feel that from the jump. But honestly, I'm going to tell you right now, write this down, quote me, the number of times I have like invested into relationships based off of how energetically seen I was feeling at the time, as opposed to like how I felt like our, you know, how we spent our time aligned, like circumstantial like relationship was, like those relationships always teach me so much about myself, about like humanity, period, about the other person. So I love that y'all are trying to bring this like authentic vibe into that. I'm even looking around the space, you know, I remember first thing I saw when I walked in was this Akira poster and I was like, oh my god, they like Akira.
How you know we like the good stuff.
Literally. But yeah, the Matrix is, you know, it can be so all-consuming, and it's sad because I think one thing that I think about a lot is like those people that are asking others to like just disconnect from the Matrix a little bit. You know, it doesn't have to be as jarring as Neo or whatever waking up in that like womb bath and looking around and seeing like tubes connected to him and being like, what is this? You know, it could literally just be like, your thoughts are silenced for a little bit and you're hearing the cars passing. I'm like, thank you for tuning in to, you know. I think those people, you know, might, I don't think they're necessarily rewarded enough. For sure, not by like capital or like society or stuff like that, but just I would love for those people to feel like their community always sees their value in that as well, in addition to their essence. Like that's so dope that you just said that like, yeah, you know, these down to earth people that walk in really remind us that all we want to do as human beings, period, is to like feel connection and understanding, you know. So
it's the truth. Now it's the truth. I'm just to kind of finish it off, I mentioned this in the last podcast that I did, but I don't think I've had the chance to really build on it. But I, right here where I was coming out of the freeway by Los Feliz, there was a homeless guy. And this homeless guy was, he had a penny. And he was like going up to people in the car and like, hey, open your window. And everybody's like looking away, like side glancing, like, fuck, I'm not going to talk to this guy. But I kind of overheard him because my window was rolled up. And he's like, I just want to talk to you. Like, I'll give you a penny. So he came up to me. I rolled my window down. He's like, here's a penny. And I was like, no, I don't need the penny.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, you're the first person today that's put their window down and actually talked to me.
Whoa.
And I was like, you know, I was just like, oh, yeah, no worries. And he's like, and he started going on this rant where he says, like, what happened to people? Like, people don't no longer want to talk to you. Like, everybody's disconnected. Everybody doesn't care about each other anymore.
Yeah.
He goes, he went on his own rant where he's like, you know, I try to talk to my daughter all the time and all she wants to do is text. Like, I want to talk to you. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear the weight that your voice is carrying, the tone. You know, I can know so much more about you through your voice than through a message. And he goes like, I don't know what's going on with people anymore. Like, we lost all sense of community. And I'm just hearing this from like this guy that I just assumed was just a homeless guy. And then I'm just getting schooled. Like, he's just fucking showing me life.
Right. Yeah.
And that motivated me. At that time, I was still taking a break from the podcast, but I was already planning on coming back. And I was just motivated even more to be like, nah, these conversations need to happen. Like, people need to hear these fucking raw things, you know? And I got the goosebumps right now. Yeah. But the guy motivated me. And I'm hoping to run into him soon. I'm going to be like, hey, man, come on the podcast.
So
if I see him again, but haven't had the chance to see him on where he's usually stopped, but we'll see if it happens. But
that's so beautiful.
Thank you for coming out, Kisan.
Oh my gosh, of course, Eddie. Are you kidding? Awesome. I was looking forward to this. Like, and you know, thank you for your flexibility. And this conversation, like, honestly, I was feeling super drained earlier in the day. And for all the reasons that we already discussed, literally. Just like the expectation, the rat race, da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, I was like, I have to finish this piece by the podcast. And obviously, when I stopped thinking about it, made myself a panini, sat down outside for like 45 minutes. I was like, I actually think I want to finish it, you know? Uh-huh. But so this conversation really revived me emotionally. So thank you so much.
That's awesome. That's what I like hearing. I some other people have told me that before. Like, hey, man, I felt inspired again. Like,
yeah.
And that's how I feel every time I finish a podcast. Like, first, I'm a little nervous. I'm like, fuck, I got to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, all this stuff. You know, my human interactions and fucking experiences are just like,
Yeah,
totally. But once I'm done with them, I usually feel like, hell yeah. Like, I can keep going. I'm motivated to keep going and do another episode and continue pushing the fucking envelope.
That's beautiful. And you can do it, Eddie, and I will be tuning in.
Hell yeah. Yeah, no, you got our support 100%.
Hell yeah.
You know? So we're going to be here and stuff. So,
okay.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, if people want to find you on Instagram or find your artwork, what is the best way to find you?
Yes. Okay. My name on IG, and this, and I've been putting off building my website for so long because of the whole like product thing, but my Instagram is somewhere I feel like I can just be unapologetically myself, like truly stream of consciousness thoughts, vibes, photos of whatever I want to post. Mostly my art though. So if you're trying to see that, it's at Kiso Kazanchian. That's K like kangaroo, ISO K like kangaroo, AZ like zebra, AN like Nardwar to continue. Narwhal. Excuse me. Like Nardwar, great interviewer. Okay. So KISOK AZANCHIAN, like Nardwar / Narwhal.
Yeah.
I've also been watching a lot of Nardwar interviews. So I think
Well, again, so thank you so much for joining. And honestly, I hope this is not the last time and we do one in a couple months and see where we're at then.
Oh my God, I would love to do that. So we'll see him.
But for sure, everybody listening, please follow him, share, support. And if you are curious about the piece we were talking about, I'm sure they can find that on your Instagram.
Oh, for sure. Now, right? I am going to hold myself accountable and post it tomorrow.
Okay, there you go.
Let's go.
If you're okay with that, I'll share one of those slides or your photo on a slide on the Instagram post. So
I would love that too.
So, man, you have no excuses, everybody.
Yeah, literally.
All right. Well, again, thank you for coming out. And we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Take care, everybody. Peace.
Just let me hold it.